You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome to this very special edition of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. This is an interview that has been in the pipework for some time. I'm absolutely delighted to say that this week's show centres on one man and one man only, the mercurial, the charismatic, one of the greatest players to ever grace Irish football. That is Joey and Doe. We're going to chat to him now about his career, about his life in the League of Ireland, and of course, his role on LOI TV. So sit back, enjoy the interview in full, and I'll speak to you again after. Now, we've got a very special show coming your way this week. I'm delighted to be joined by a man that many would probably describe as one of the greatest overseas players to ever play in the League of Ireland. I'm, of course, talking about League of Ireland legend Joey and Doe. I'm delighted to be joined by him now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Joey, it's great to see you. How are you keeping?
Good, good. But you say many will describe.
Yeah, well, I was in Sligo, as you know, on Monday night, and I was working with Gavin Dykes, and he said you were the finest player he ever seen in Sligo.
You know, he's a little bit biased, Gavin. he loves me, so he's saying that to everyone.
Yeah, and of course, it passed my memory, but of course, you went in and were caretaker manager at Sligo for a while with Gavin.
Yeah, you know, I like the guy. And I have to say, I heard a lot about Sligo Rovers Academy. And rarely I heard Gavin Dykes mentioned. And I can say without Gavin, there wouldn't be any academy. Because he's the only man who believes on the youth in Sligo. What can we do to help the club to go to the next level? You know, and he has that vision. I remember when he started, to be fair, no one really believed. I have to tell the truth. Like, even myself, I never been seeing what they are doing. And the man just believed on first. I think he's not just believe, but it was personal for him. He really likes those players. He knows them in and out. And when I say knows them, really, he knows them in and out. He can tell you a little bit about the background, the family, the behavior. It was just to see something like that, I think, is not just football. That's someone you can see that he has that vision. And on the vision, it's not about the player. It's about the person. And if you know the person better, then you can get the best out of him. And I do think, I hope that people are going to recognize what he brought in Sligo, because a lot of people are celebrating the Sligo Rovers Academy, and it never been mentioned. And I just feel that I don't want only the day is going to die that people going to start saying, oh, you know what, he done this, he done that. I think that's the guy that Sligo has to celebrate for what he brought Sligo. Because now Sligo Rovers has, I think, 17 million plan. And on those 17 million plans, the academy has a big part. But without the vision of Gavin Dykes, there wouldn't be the 17 million project in 2021.
Yeah,
no one really believed, you know.
Just from working with him on Monday night, seems like a really, really good guy as well, and very knowledgeable on the game. So I'm sure he'd be delighted to hear you say that. But look, I introduced you there, as I said, a lot of people, when they speak about players that have come in from abroad, your name is always top of the list as one of the best ever. How does that make you feel when you hear people say that? Does it make you proud?
No, because for me, I didn't see like I'm coming from abroad. I felt that I'm coming in the League of Ireland doing what I love the most is playing football and also giving people joy. And I always say the last thing I don't want is regret. And I have a lot of challenge during my career, during my life. And I think that looking back, it gives me some, I would say, comfort to know that I could have get into any dressing room in the world and play the way I was playing. Because to be fair, to play in the League of Ireland is not easy. It's not easy because first, most of the players I play with, especially when I start in Dublin, you know, I come in in Ireland and I have another mentality of being professional. A lot of them, they never experienced something outside Ireland. So, and it was a little bit difficult, even in terms of playing, to impose my style. It wasn't easy. I have to fight for every little thing. Even the passing football, I have to fight for that. So, and it's not easy that to tell people, hey, you know what? You are playing well, but you can do better. And I think it's difficult when people have their own habits. And I think, as I say, the one thing really looking back is I was able to bring my flair in the game. That's for me, it's because I know how difficult it is. And to do that with the team I've been, I'm looking back and say, wow. I couldn't believe myself. It's hard to believe because when I'm looking back, seeing myself, that little guy in Cameroon, and then I end up here and be able to do what I've done is wow.
I suppose the first question, Joey, how did you end up here in Ireland? Because you obviously started your career in your own country in Cameroon. You moved around. You'd played in many other leagues. Then you'd obviously played in a World Cup as well, which is massive. And then in 2003, you signed for St. Patrick's Athletic. So how did that happen?
Because I was playing in China and my family wanted to move back in Europe. So I knew someone who knew someone in some part, and they told me, oh, yeah, I think in Ireland. What do you think about Ireland? So I spoke with my family. They say, oh, yeah, that would be great. So, but it didn't happen the first time because they tried to sign me during the summer, I think 2002. Is it 2002? Yeah, because 2003. Sorry, 2003. And the Chinese club said no. So, and I remember I was going back to China to sign my contract. Then I got a phone call that. Ireland is in. Do you want to go? So I changed my mind at the airport. I call in China to say sorry. My family wants to stay in Europe. So, but if it were just me, I would stay in China. That's for sure.
Mm. What was your first impressions then when you arrived at St. Pat's? You said there maybe in the dressing room there was a lot of players that had never played outside of Ireland. I think back then a lot of the players were a lot older. Then now it's a young league now, but the players were a lot older then. Maybe you said not as professional, maybe as some of the other leagues or dressing rooms you'd been in. So what was your first impression of those first few months playing in the league with St. Pat's?
squeeze. It was screening. I just hear squeeze. I say, what is that? There were a fresh guy playing, Karim. He was playing there. I keep hearing squeeze, squeeze. I said, what is that? And he explained to me in French. And I asked him, why? We have the ball and they give the ball back. So why? And he said, just play. So that was the first thing. But I would say the one thing really, of course, they were not the standard in terms of the club, the organization and everything, because even in the club, when I asked something that, can you help me to do this? For them, it was strange. Say, oh, why is that? Why? Why do you need us to do that? You know, and I understood that, oh, okay, they are not used to, they don't understand those things, that being a professional is first, the player has to be focused on the game, primarily just the game. The other stuff, that's the club or the people who work in the club who has to deal with. It's not the player who has to. When you see the accommodation, things like accommodation, open a bank account, organize things for the family. They're still a little bit too far here, because that's why you understand the difference between professional and amateur, because a professional, they are making sure that the player doesn't have any excuses, you know? And all the country I play was the same. You have that organization. You have people in the club who's dealing with family issue. If for foreigners, you have someone who's gonna help you settle in. Yeah, he's gonna hire a teacher. So the club gonna give you a teacher, because you have to learn the language as fast as possible. And I remember one when I was playing in France, in Strasbourg, they signed two Argentinians. And they have a personal teacher who were following them everywhere. And the teacher has 6 months. So it was intense. Because in some point, the players start to complain that, listen, even when we go into the restaurant with our wife, the guy is there. You know, can we have a break? But that's being professional, because they want you to be settled as soon as possible.
Yeah.
You know, and here in Ireland, you don't have it.
Did you find that difficult then, Joey, to settle?
No, because me, I'm adapting on everything. You know, I'm adapting on everything. But I just say that people were thinking that they are professional. The club was thinking that they are professional. And now when I was going to ask something, they say, oh, why is that? But the reality that they were not professional. They have a version of professional. And that's why you see there is a reason why we cannot compete in Europe. Because when the details are not there, how are we going to demand the players to be at the peak of their form?
So when you arrived and you seen that and said, maybe this league isn't as professional as some of the other leagues I've played in before, was there a thought in your mind to leave?
No, because to be fair, I have Eamon Collins, who were the manager, and Eamon Collins knew, because then everything I have to deal with, it was Eamon Collins, because he knew that, because Eamon also, he was traveling, he had that experience. So he knew exactly that there is thing who has to be done, and he started to do it without even me asking. The simple example of the cable TV, you know, you're a foreigner, you don't know what's going on. And then the club just look at you, okay. But Eamon understood. So he put Skype, everything. He say he has to be, nothing has to bother him. But a lot of people, they couldn't understand. Say, why? He can just call Skype. But Emma 3 months. He's going to call. What is he going to tell them? He's going to speak in French? So, and, you know, I always say something is that for me is playing football. I have my experience. If I can help, because that's another point. If people want to listen, I'm going to say what I have to say. But if I felt that people, they don't want to listen, I'm going to keep quiet. Because I think that's the main rule in life. You can only talk to people who listen to you. If no one listens, why are you talking? You know? So also we, in some parts, in St. Patrick's, we have, I have the chairman, O'Callaghan, a lovely man, lovely, lovely man. And time to time, we have a chat, how to make the club better, what can improve and things like that. Just the simple details who could make the club look better, also to attract better players, because when the player sees how you organize, you know what? It's a plus for you.
Up next then was the move to Shelburne. 2 league titles followed. A lot of people, as I mentioned, would regard you as one of the best players to ever play in the league, but that Shelburne team, a lot of people look back at it as one of the best, one of the strongest Irish teams there ever was. How do you reflect on your time at Talca Park?
To be fair, it was fantastic. But I don't think we'll fulfill what we were meant to. I think that Pat Fenlon put in place one of the best team. I would say the best team I saw here in the league. But there is one thing that we didn't perform in Europe. And because we didn't perform in Europe, I felt that we didn't do what we were aimed to do, because Pat Fenlon has that vision to go in Europe. And that's why he had me, because he felt that, yeah, I have to add this guy who's going to help me. But we didn't, because I always say, what's the reason to win the title? What's the reason to go in Europe, try to go in Europe or won the cup, qualify in Europe, if you cannot compete in Europe? Because I think that's another notion that it has to change. Most of the time, the club wants to be qualified. They want to win the league. They want to qualify in Europe just to have a little bit of money. But that money, when you look at it, doesn't really help, because compared to what the UEFA is putting in the Champions League or Europa League, that money is nothing. For you to be to just play in Europe 3 games, 2 games, that money is nothing. And I think that's, for me, that's what I was saying. When someone wants to listen, I'm going to say what I have to say. But if someone does not want to listen, if someone doesn't ask me anything, I'm going to keep quiet. But I think for me, it was a big disappointment that we didn't go in Europe, because I think we have everything to compete in Europe, everything to play in Champions League and even go further. We are, when I say everything, like, there were not one area I would say, oh, I was worried that. But the player didn't have that, they didn't have that same, I would say, same desire they had in the league. Because in the league, we were employable. But when it goes in Europe, we didn't have the same attitude, you know? So for me, starting the season, in my mind, I was preparing to play in Champions League. That was in my mind. It wasn't, I have to play in the league because I don't have a choice. But if I had a choice, I would play in the league. But I need the league to go in Europe. So I have to perform the league to go where I want to go. And when you see all the players, all the big players, every time they want to sign to a team, they are making sure that they can compete in Champions League. And that's also a thing, because when a player, you never test that level, you cannot understand. And that's what you see, the big players, they can only sign for a team who play Champions League, because they cannot see them spending a year without playing Champions League. It's not possible. And I felt that we didn't. We were the best team in the league, yes. But Pat Fenlon didn't put that team to be the best team in the league. He put that team to be able to compete with anybody in Europe.
You mentioned that maybe you were so good in the league, it just didn't happen in Europe. Of course, Shells came very, very close to getting into the group stages of the Champions League. But back then, I suppose, those sort of stories were very rare in Irish football. We never had a team go that far in Europe. Over the last couple of years, obviously, we've had Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk. And now that Stephen Kenny is the Ireland manager, he's getting Ireland to play a lot more passing football and try and encourage players to be confident on the ball. But back then, do you think there was a mentality issue that Irish players didn't believe in themselves enough?
No, it's still the same mentality. They don't believe. Because when Shamrock went to the group stage, when Dundalk went to the group stage, what happened? Do they compete? No, they don't. Have they learned something? No, they didn't. Why? Because for you to compete in Europe, especially when you have that chance to say, you know what, next year there is a possibility to compete, you're going to start from the preseason. From the preseason, the goal is not to win the league. From the preseason, the goal would be to go in the group stage, Champions League or Europa League, and then try to do everything to go to the second round. That has to be the goal. When you see in Scotland, Rangers or Celtic, when they prepare their season, are they preparing just for the league? The main target is Europe. Because if your main target is higher, the league gonna be easy for you.
Yeah.
But the players, when they finish the league, they're going back. Most of them, they don't even think about what happened during the season. Can I improve? Can I improve? What's going on? They don't. So they coming back on preseason the way they went, with no ambition. And that team in Shelbourne, or the other team now, is still the same mentality. Because if you want more, when we talk about the on that time, it wasn't too much. But on that time, you have one player who was playing for Man United called Roy Keane. Why his mentality were different? Roy Keane felt that he was the best player in the world, and he wants to compete in the highest level. But players, they don't have it. They want to be the best player in the league. And then when it comes to Europe, he's a different player. He's a completely different. For me, I always felt Europe is easier than the League of Ireland. When I was playing in Europe, it was easier than playing League of Ireland. Why? Because in Europe, the boys knew that they cannot do without me. In League of Ireland, I can come for a pass. He's going to kick that ball as far as possible and say, no, 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 someone were following you. But in Europe, even I have two behind me, they give me the ball. So it's just to tell you that unfortunately, the mentality has to change. You know, it was a little bit painful for me, especially because that was my dream. That was Pat Fenlon's dream. We were talking about every year he tried to put in place, he tried to add players just for that Champions League spot. But the player didn't have the same desire as they have in the league.
And
when I say the player, including, because when you see now, I don't think there is a manager who, at the end of the season, going to go home and say, you know what, next year, I'm going to try to go in the second round of the Champions League. I'm going to try to go in the semi-final of the Champions League. No, they don't. It's not even a dream. Can you imagine that in our league, we don't have a club, we don't have a manager, we don't have players who even dream to play quarterfinal in Champions League and say, you know what, I'm gonna put the effort to do it. It doesn't take much. The one thing you're gonna take, because when you make that decision, then you're gonna start studying what the others are doing. You're not studying your opponent here. You're gonna study your next opponent, the big one, and you're gonna learn what they are doing, how they are training, the intensity, because that's gonna be a huge factor, is the intensity. And if you see sometimes the team here in the league, some of them are doing well in Europe, but when the time goes by, their form starts to drop because they are not used to that intensity. And that's why I say, I don't understand why in this football world in Ireland, people, they don't dream. It's like the nicest thing is for others. It's not for us.
And look, as we said, Shells, they were close, but they had a very sad ending, as we know, the financial issues at the club and all the great players left. And Shelburne went through probably a very dark decade or so. It's good to see them back now for next season in the Premier Division. Hope they can do well.
That's the story of the league.
Yeah. Since I came
in the league in 2004, I think, most of the club, they have 3 or 4 years. And then down. And it's like they don't learn history. Because when the fire starts in your neighbor, listen, you cannot just close your eyes and watch TV. At least if you don't help, at least look at the window and ask what's happened. At least then you're going to make sure that if it happens in your house, you will know how to handle it. But it is a sad situation because the story keeps repeating. It goes to different teams, but it's the same story all the time. Mm. Same story. They go in certain level and then they start to just go down and down and down. And then another one going to take over. He has his 3-4 years and he goes down again. Mm. It's very sad.
Do you think the league, you've been here 20 years now, do you think the league is finally improving? We mentioned there's a lot of young players now compared to maybe when you came into the league, and we're seeing a lot of players get into the Irish under 21 team. And as we mentioned, Stephen Kenny is managing the national team. But do you see a change in the next few years where we will see teams like maybe Shamrock Rovers have domestic dominance, do well in Europe and be able to stay there? Or are we still going to have this boom bust cycle?
For me, I cannot really speak about the clubs, because what I saw here, especially with clubs and the board, is that a lot of them are very good business people. How to find money, how to find investment, but they are not football people. And they want to make football decisions. Mm. And that's why you still have those trouble all the time. Because in some point, they are paying higher to players who will not bring them in Champions League. Sometimes that is how they think sometimes. You know what? Instead of go get this guy in 5,000 a week, we're going to get 5 guys in 1,000 a week. That's the situation we are. Is that, listen, if you want to go in certain level, you need a certain caliber of players. And then those players are going to help the player you have. But if you don't have that vision, you're always going to fail that. Listen, why do we have to sign this guy in 5,000 or in 10,000? What's the point? We can have 10 guys they will not be as good at him, but he's going to do something. And that's what I'm saying. The league has, a big, big, big issue. And when people were talking about John Delaney, I was saying, if you got that wrong, completely wrong. The guy has no impact on how well the team can do. His impact may come later, but how well the team can do, it has no impact. That's the players and that's the club. Because most of the time, they went to see him for what? Help us. But help us to do what? Just to have, I would say, a few bob in the league. Please help us. And everyone were bound to him. Why? Because they need a little help. But it's not his job to play for you. It's not his job to qualify in the Champions League. That's not his job. Now, qualify to the Champions League and then go to him to say, you know what? We need more money. So there is no point. And that's, for me, that's the thing, that they brought the problem we have in the league and they put that on John Delaney. And most of the people are happy because at least now we have a good reason why we are not in the level we should be. And no one talk about the real problem, that a lot of clubs, they have fantastic, and I know they have fantastic people, business people. They can put a plan how to develop the club, the facility and things. But when it comes to football, and I think that's where Shamrock Rovers learn, because they really have two departments. Everyone is doing his job. You don't tell me how I do mine. I don't tell you how you do yours. But then at the end, everyone going to be whole accountable. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something the club has to understand. And Shamrock, I love it because they know it's a process. And even when the team were not going well, they never thought of, we're going to get rid of Steven Bradley. Never. Why? Because it's a process. Mm. And they know that's going to take time. But in 20 years, the day we're going to be in Champions League group stage, every year we're going to be in Champions League group stage. And I think that's the plan. And for that, they have to identify the people who are going to help them to do it. It's not because I have a football brain that I know how to put a plan to get a fund, to get funding for facilities. Everyone has his skills. Mm-hmm. But most of the time in the club is that the wrong people making decisions, they are not in their place. The one who's talking about football, that's not his place. The one who's talking about the business, that's not his place.
And we started the interview by talking about Sligo Rovers and the great academy that they've built. And Shamrock Rovers, the very same now. They've got a great academy, great players coming through, great people, like ex-players involved with the academy. And then you've got the business people, as you said, doing the community work and everything else. So is that the blueprint going forward? The academies have to be a huge part now over the next 10, 20 years.
Most of the club has the academy, but I think what do you implement in your academy? There's a one model I always felt that for me is one of the best models in Ireland is UCD. But when you see many academy here, they have so much different style of play. Like in the academy, each manager brings his own style. And then the top man, he has his own style. And when the player go at the top, he struggles because he get lost, you know? So there is not a structure. That's what I'm saying. There is not a structure. When I was talking about Gavendex, Gavendex put a structure. But is the club follow that structure to say, okay, we're going to play the same way as the academy, or the academy going to play the same way as us? Because that's very important. It's easier to have the academy and say we have the academy. But how many players have you developed in the academy? Because first, the reason why they call academy is that those young men need to be guided. That's the first thing. Because we're talking about the next one who's going to be professional. So they need to be guided. They need to be understand the foundation of football, the discipline part of the of football. But most of the time, it's not what is happened. Most of the time, it's just because the guy is good, they let him go with anything. And then when he go at the top, because he's not the star there, he start to struggle. So I saw in France where, you know, in the academy, you have to make sure that as good as you play, yours in the school, you have to get always good notes, good grade. So it's part of it. Like if you have, let's say you are playing, you are the best player, and at school you don't do well, you will not play. Because they try, is we're talking about someone who tomorrow we're gonna make decision. And we also talk about someone who may not be professional one day, who he may become a lawyer, he may become, but because he went through the academy, now we have someone who can help the club. Because when we talk about the academy, how many players are in the academy? You have, I will say, tons of players in the academy. For how many spots? So we're talking about the others who, I will say, maybe 80% of the academy who will not play professional football. What's going to happen to them? And I saw many times the player who they felt that my dream is gone. And the next thing is they start to drink, they start to smoke, they get into bad thing, and everyone say, oh, it's bad egg, oh, it's not good. No. Because when your dream have been taken away, what are you going to do? It's very difficult for them. It's very difficult. And that's why I say the academy has to understand that, that you have to be held accountable of what the player is going to learn in the academy. It's not just a player. We're talking about a man tomorrow who's going to make a decision. So the approach has to be completely different. It's not about the player, it's about the man. And when you educate that man, when you guide him to say, okay, listen, if you become a footballer, that's fantastic. That's a dream. But there is other stuff. The way you behave, you have to behave well. Your discipline has to be there. The respect has to be there. Then even if he doesn't make it, we have some young man who learned something and he can bring that in life. So that's what I'm saying about the how far we still. Because I remember maybe 35 years, 50 years ago, I will even say 50, 65 years ago, Ireland were almost at the same level with Switzerland, with Portugal. What happened? What's happened? You can see when how many players come from academies in Portugal. Look at them now. And I think that's what I'm saying. That when we were talking about John Delaney, that was the wrong thing to do. Because there is so many things. And then you also have the personal issue. I think that's a big thing in Ireland. You know, every time people talking about, it's not personal, it's business. But then the way they react, you know, it's personal. There is no business who is not personal, by the way.
some really interesting views there, Joey. But we'll go back to your career. So after you leave Shells, you go back to Pats. You had your loan spell at Shamrock Rovers. You have a good time at Bowes where you win a couple of cups. And then you sign for Sligo. And obviously, the first time you left Dublin, I think a lot of people were really surprised when you left Bowes at the time. What happened in that period that you decided to leave Bowes and leave Dublin and sign for Sligo Rovers?
At the end of the season, I spoke with Pat about going forward. And the forward was playing Champions League. But Pat couldn't have the budget because he was talking about bringing certain players, especially players from outside, and he couldn't have the budget. And that was, like I said, was a little bit frustrating because the reason why I helped the team to win the league is to play the Champions League the following year. And when things were not really, it looks like it will not happen next year, I have to make a decision. Where do I see, how do I see my career? Am I going to continue winning? Because if I stay here, I'm going to win anyway. I'm pretty sure I'm going to win. But is it really what I want if I don't have a chance to play in Champions League? Is it not better to have another challenge? Because the way it goes now, I may not play the Champions League, but I may try to have a challenge who's going to give me as much joy than the Champions League. So, and I spoke with Pat, and listen, I'm so grateful to that man, because Pat Fenlon, that's why I always like playing for him, because he has my back.
Was he the best manager you worked for?
He's one of the best. But with him, it wasn't even football. It was beyond that. Like, Afel is one of the few honest people in football. Really. It's one of the few that you don't need to sign a contract. He just to tell you, he has his word. When he say he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And when you have someone like that, listen, because at the end of the day, is the life is what is to be happy. And when you have someone who has your back all the time, who take your family like his family, and that's why it was a little bit difficult for me to leave Bohemians. But I just felt I was, I think, 32, 33, and I just felt I need something else. If I cannot play in Champions League, I need something else who's going to give me the same desire, the same joy, the same challenge. And then I signed for Sligo.
And it seems like Sligo was one of your happiest times. The fans loved you. They adored you. You played some incredible football, won some great trophies. I know you didn't qualify for group stages of Europe, but there were some good European nights too. Was it your happiest time in Irish football?
No, it was one of the happiest. Remember in Dublin, listen, you have to go through challenges in the whole season when everyone come to beat you. That was a different, like every club in Dublin, it was every time, every game was first, everyone tried to beat you. And then because they play against Joey, so everyone has to make sure that, hey, I put Joey on my pocket, you know. So, but I always find, listen, for me, I always find pleasure on what I have. The contentment for me is the key. I'm not too much, I would say, custom to the fame. So I have fan in Dublin who loves me, and I have some who didn't. It's the same here in Sligo. I have a lot who love me, and I also have some who didn't. So, but I will say in Sligo, it gave me that challenge I wanted, because for me in Dublin, the challenge was Champions League, based on the club, based on the city, based on the environment, and the goal of the manager too, it was Champions League. I didn't want to play in Europa League. I want to play in the group stage of Champions League. And I was saying, if I play in group stage of Champions League, it would have been something else. It would have been something else, because I know how to play against those players. But I will enjoy myself like you couldn't imagine. And that's why I wanted to be on that stage. But it didn't happen. And then I felt, listen, now we're going to take another challenge. And I think Sligo was the same. And I think the I identify myself to the fans here in Sligo. You have to understand that, okay, Dublin is a big city and Sligo is not. So the way people behave in Dublin is not the same way in Sligo. And the way people see Sligo Rovers from Dublin, Sligo is not that, it's not a big team. So they don't have, I would say, a little bit of lack of respect. And you can even hear sometimes when a team used to come play against Sligo, most of the interview after the game, it was what? Sligo. Is a tough place to go. that was too, the kind way to say, yeah, they work hard, but listen, we knew we're gonna win anyway. But then everything changed in 2010. Because 2010 interview after match, it was, oh, we were so lucky. And I think that for me that's the most pleasing thing, is that The player listen. The player asked me and they listen. Because I couldn't do anything without the player willing. Because you can have all the best advice. You can do the best motivation. Like I say again, if no one wants to listen to you, it's worthless. And in Sligo, they want to listen. They believe when I say something, they believe. And for me, trust is everything. And those guys trusted me. It's just to tell you the difference. When I say, like, someone really wants to know, how can we do to go there? That was the main difference.
It's clear you would have loved to play in the Champions League, but for Joey and Doe, I can imagine the big stage was what you wanted as well. You couldn't play in the Champions League, but when a big occasion came around, you were up for it and ready. And what an occasion it was, 2010 Cup Final, first FAI Cup Final at the new Aviva Stadium. There was 36,500 there. I was there myself that day. You're playing your former club, Shamrock Rovers. Maybe not the best game. It goes to penalties. We know what Kieran Kelly does, but you were voted man of the match that day. Talk us through your emotions that day. Was that Joey and Doe at his best?
No, it was just Joey and Doe as every day. That's the way, because I felt, I always say that I wish I would have played every week in the Aviva.
That was your stage.
Yeah, it's every week. Like even the league game with 30 something people, that's a dream. Can you imagine 30 pair of eyes, 30,000 pair of eyes, 40,000 pair of eyes on you? They say, okay, show us what you can do. Listen, it was a joy. To see that, it was a joy. And when they came to watch something, you have to give them that. And it has nothing to do with Sligo fans. I say the whole stadium, they have to go home. Even Shamrock fans, they have to go home and say, I don't like the guy, but oh, what a player. You know, and for me, it's like that's football. That's how I see football. So I didn't feel any pressure because I never feel pressure. I always wanted to play football. That's the one thing I always ask God that I want to, since I'm young, I want to play football. I never ask him for money. So that's why my decision never been based on money. It's just where can I play? And when the decision to move from Sligo, to move from Dublin to Sligo, that gave me another 4 or 5 years in my career. One decision, because I have to change my training regime. I have to change everything. But that 2010, I will say the saddest thing on that 2010 is that Richie Ryan was suspended. That's the only thing, because I feel for Richie Ryan and Matthew Blington. They were suspended. But listen, I think Shamrock Rovers fans were pleased and they're still pleased of what they saw. But to be fair, they didn't have any chance to win. When we get on that stage final, sorry, Kerrion, it's difficult for me to lose. Okay. It's so difficult.
A lot of people would say, Joey, and though you danced on the pitch with the ball, but you danced after that cup final. I remember that. That was a great image. You were dancing with the cup, and it's just so much joy and happiness that day in Sligo.
Oh, yeah. You know, to bring that to the fans, you know, because in Dublin, the fans were accustomed to win now. Like, sometimes they didn't even show emotion anymore. It was, you know what, that's... But Sligo fans, they needed something. They were begging for something to happen. They were begging for something to happen.
It wasn't that long ago. They were in the first division before that cup final.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And they appreciate so much. And I remember the League Cup we played against, I think, Monaghan. I don't remember exactly, in 2010. The showground were packed. And the joy in people's face, it was amazing. And that is where you can see the whole difference, because even in town, people were friendly. People were smiling, were friendly. Like it was, everything was booming. You can see even the economy were booming because, hey, we raise up again. And it was just a joy. It was a joy. And that final, I would say even the semi-final. I tell a story on the Bless show I'm doing time to time. And I tell a story about the semi-final against Bohemian. And I do think that in the semi-final, we've changed the game for the whole league on that semi-final. Because before the league, you have to be physical before being technical. After that game, you have to be technical before being physical. So now, you use your physique to help your technique. Because we just outplay Bohemians, outplay completely. So going to the final, we knew we were going to win. Of course, I know that Shamrock Rovers thought that they will win too, but how come? They couldn't, sorry, but no chance. Like.
And 2013, for me, one of the best FAI Cup finals in many, many, many years. Talk us through that one. That was a crazy game.
Yeah, it was. You know, the night before, the day before, we went into the Aviva. So the day before we went to Aviva, when we were coming from Sligo, before we went to our hotel, we went to Aviva. And the player went on the pitch, you know, and they start to take picture. I knew that we're going to have a problem. Why? Because when you start to have all the image, what's going to happen? You're going to start dreaming. Oh, tomorrow, that's what I'm going to do there. I'm going to do there. If I score, I'm going to celebrate there. But that's just a dream because reality is something else. So I think our player played the game in their head a little bit too much. From, I will say, when we left the Aviva to the hotel the next day, they played the game. So we didn't start the game well. It was one of the games where really we could have been 3-0, 4-0 down. But I wasn't worried because I knew, like, I remember in some point, Barraclough called me because he wanted to say something to a player based on his position. And he said, listen, Joseph, you have to demand that of him. You have to do. And I told him that, listen, Baba, I think if we go 1-0 down in first half, we're going to win. Because we didn't start well. And anything I'm going to say to a player now, he will not listen. Because first, he's not happy with himself. So there is no point for me to talk to him. I just wish that we're going to go at halftime. And when we went at halftime, in the dressing room, people were not happy. Baba were not happy. Everyone were not happy. And something happened. Barraclough said something to Jilali. And Jilali were not happy. So, and when Jilali is not happy, you know that he will not make any effort. Because that's the player who has to be happy to play well. And me, I didn't even pay attention because I was just sitting there and say, oh, thank God, halftime. Let's put things right now. That is our chance. And then Gavin Dex came to me and say, Joey, we have a problem. And he was whispering, we have a problem. I said, what? He said, Jilali is not happy. You have to do something. I said, God. Yeah, I'm tired. Can you just let me just rest? I didn't even remove my boots. Can you just give me a break? He said, if you don't talk to him, we're gonna lose. So I went at the back because Jilali went at the back, we're not happy. And I just talked to him. And I told him, listen, Gigi, because I call him Gigi. He called me that. So I call him Gigi. I never lost a final. Without you, I cannot win. So I don't know what's happened there. He said, no. I said, please, Gigi, please, please. I cannot go home in Cameroon without that final. I need that final, Gigi. Please, please. I'm sorry for what they said to you there. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. They shouldn't. I don't know who even talked to you. Oh, the manager. Oh, I'm going to talk to him, this. How can he talk to you? You know? And if we win that game because of him. But then now, if Gavin wasn't on that dressing room, because Gavin knew the team and he knew who can make us the difference. And if Gavin Dex wasn't on that dressing room, no one would pick that Jilali weren't happy. And that means at that final, no chance. Because remember when soon when I think they scored the second goal, restart. Who gets the attack? Jilali. He gets the ball, cross, bang, goal. That's what he was capable of. But for that, he has to be happy. So you better tell him what he wants to hear. And I love the guy. So for me, the story, those two things that people didn't see is the football intelligence of Gavin Dex to see that we cannot solve the problem. We just created a problem. Because we didn't have a problem. We play bad, yes. But then in halftime, instead of being calm and say, listen, guys, that's not a big deal. We're going to make something happen. We make the main man who can make a difference. We make him unhappy. So for me, that is where it goes. Those in halftime. For me, I think halftime changed everything. Mm. Because to be fair, Drogba played so well that day. So well.
Paul O'Connor was excellent that day.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Of course, a lot of people remember that game for the free kick. What was going through your head? Was it just instinctive? Was it something you had seen during the game that they were switching off at free kicks? Or
no,
how did it happen?
We done it because that's not... I didn't create that one. One day, Baraklov came to me and said, listen, we're going to try something. And he told me that, okay, I want you to put the ball over the wall, and then we will score. Of course, you know, my nickname was connecting people. So you ask something, I'm going to do it, okay? So we done it in the showground, I think against, I don't really remember, I think it was against Galway or against, not Drogba. It was Galway or Bray. We done it in the showground. And so on the final, free kick, of course, I went on the ball as usual because the free kick, I was the one taking the free kick. And then Danny North came to me and said, we're going to do the free kick. I said, okay. So I didn't think that is a final. I didn't think that, oh, we have all those people watching. Because if I have that thought, I will say to Danny, hey, my friend, do you want to kill me? If I miss that, you know what's going to happen to me. But no, because, and for me, that's football. That I never think that, oh, I'm going to fail. Never. I always seize the opportunity. And if I don't see opportunity, I'm going to create opportunity. Now, when the referee put the wall was near the ball. And that was good for me because if they are near the ball, that means there is more space between the wall and the keeper. But then the referee pushed the wall back. And I told the referee, no, it's okay. No, we don't need 9 yards. So they are good there. He said, no, they have to be 9. I said, come on, it's our free kick. If I say it's good that we don't need 9 yards. So now they were so close to the keeper that I start to think I don't have a match of error. Mm. It has to be so precise. Because if I do it short, the wall is going to touch it. If I do it too long, the keeper is going to get it. But it was perfect. Of course, Drogba started to say, oh, no. But listen, they didn't see that one coming. Because even they told them that we're going to do it, they couldn't believe. Why? Because it's the final. Yeah. And on the final, you know, everyone is, oh, I cannot do this. Oh, I cannot do that. And that was all my game is when people say, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. That's exactly what I'm going to do. So, but Danny North, oh, to get that ball, like it was just the timing, the volley, he started to celebrate before even the ball touched the net. He was so sure. Mm. No, he was fantastic. Mm. Fantastic.
Look, since you retired, obviously, I know you're doing coaching. You're out coaching this evening. Our listeners obviously can't see it, but you're in your coaching gear there. Is that something that's very important to you to give back to young players?
I always coach. Like when I was playing, I was coaching. You know, the experience, what you tell the players is part of the coaching. You know, but it's a little bit difficult for me. Why? Because working with players, because I'm coming from a different, I would say, a different box. Because most of the coaching, they are in the same box, most of them. They're doing things the same way. They understand things the same way. But me is completely different. And sometimes it's difficult for the players, for the club to understand it. It's completely different. Because my mindset is always to, I'm not satisfied for what the player can do. So I'm going to try to tell him that, listen, what you're doing now, that is for this level. But if you want to go to the next level, you have to do a little bit more. So I'm going to try to coach him based on the next level, not on the level he is now, you know. And for me, detail is everything. Detail is everything. When a player passes the ball, the way he controls it, sometimes we don't, as a coach, we don't too much pay attention on the details. And then we end up doing match analysis on what we didn't spot out in training. And I always told my player that, listen, be good on one thing, be great on one thing. Because if you try to be good on everything, you're going to be average. So be great on one thing. You're going to be criticized for the rest, but at least when they talk about your skills, they're going to say, no, it's great.
It's clear you're very, very passionate about coaching, but one thing you must be passionate about, because you come across very passionate, is your new commentary role on LOI TV. One of the reasons we wanted to get you on the show, so many people have been tweeting us, messaging us since you started commentating, saying, please get Joey and Doe on the podcast. They absolutely love your commentary. So tell us about how have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, of course. But me, it's you know, first, I'm not biased. Like Sligo Rovers knows that when they call me, they know. And I'm not trying to tell people what is not right. What is the error? What this, what that? Because the way I see is that if someone make an error, it's because somebody else forced him to make that error. And most of the time, we take away the effort someone made. And we start to talk about the mistake. Someone scored, I'm taking the Monday goal. Of course, there were mistakes. The last goal, Banks score. There were some mistakes. But then now, if you start talking about the mistakes, you're going to take away the 50-yard run Barnes has to do to score that goal. Because he poured his heart to say, I'm going to be on that box. If that ball comes to me, I will do my stuff. And for me, that's what I want to always highlight, is things doesn't happen for a reason. Sometimes I'm talking about the 1-2. I call the guy because I felt that he's one of the best passer, Dr. Buckley. Gary Buckley, of course. But I say Dr. Buckley because he's a doctor of pass. And he's doing 1-2, but no one even really catch it because it looks so effortless. But I know how difficult it is. I know that every player can do that in training. Only a few can do that in the game. And my job is to highlight to the fan to say, it looks easy, but it's not that easy. It is a special skills. Of course, some will like, other will not. Because for me, I felt sometimes with pundits, they spend too much time about talking he cannot do this, he cannot do that. The mistake happened. If someone never watched the game, that's my thought. If someone never watched the game, someone doesn't know anything about football, and he started watching, and the only thing he hear about, this guy cannot pass the ball well. Oh, that's not a good defending. You cannot defend on in this level. You cannot defend like that. But there is someone who make you look bad. So why are you taking away the skill of that person, the work rate of that person, just because you want to prove a point that the other one is not good enough? And for me, that's the way I see it. And I have to give the fans, of course, I enjoy as a fan as well. So that's why sometimes I'm going to start, but because I'm a fan and I felt that, listen, I know how difficult it is to do certain skills. And I understand that some people, they may not. For some people, it just, because if you are not Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar, Mbappe, Pogba, No, because, listen, even Joe Endo is not too much, because Joe Endo was playing the League of Ireland. So it doesn't have the same respect. Pogba going to make a pass. Joe Endo do the same pass. So, Joey, fantastic. Oh, Pogba, wow. So it's based on where you play. I'm going to talk about a young man, a fullback, you know, Paddy Kirk. Some of the best range passing I never see. Some of the best Rangers pass I never see. And I think I was telling you that if you put the highlights of Paddy Kirk, you remove the Longford jersey, you put Barcelona jersey, everyone will say, oh yeah, that's Barcelona style. Why? Because in Ireland, in our league, we don't pick up rough diamond. We are waiting for the diamond to be at the shop. And then you say, wow, that's beautiful. But the rough diamond where you have to go through the mud to get it, we don't do that. And I always think that, I think for a player, if you go watch the game again, he will be so pleased that someone recognizes his talent. That's the way I see it. So it's not too much about the fan. For me, the player, I try to promote players. It's not the clubs. I try to promote players. And if I have opportunity, I will always do it. It doesn't matter where, in Sligo or somewhere else, I will always promote the players. Because I felt for so long in the league here, the player just get criticized only. Of course, that sells a little bit more. But player point of view, that bring the confidence a little bit down. And that thing, that's why some people, it was a little bit refreshing for some people. It was a little bit weird for some people. It was a little bit strange for some people. And it was really bad for others. But that's understandable.
You know? No, look, it's a very unique style. It's refreshing, I think. And as you said, you're trying to be positive in your commentary, which is fantastic. But look, it was a massive, massive win, massive goal for Sligo on Monday. I know they didn't play that well, but got the 3 points. They're that bit closer now to Europe. What have you made of their season? Because had such a good start. People were talking about, can they win the title? And then wheels fell off for months. But now they've finally got a couple of big results again, and they've almost got that European spot.
So, you see, if they were playing the same way the whole year, they would have won the league. Because they didn't play well, as well as they wanted, but they won. And by the way, they didn't win because Longford didn't put an effort. They won because they wanted. Johnny Kenny will make the horn to get that ball on the right wing. And then you have Keon, who, like, he went from the midfield, burst, just to get at the end of that cross. And behind him, you have Banks, who also, like, you can see the determination, the willing. And the only time Longford were not at the second ball, it was a goal. Because the whole night, they were all second ball. They were first ball, second ball, third ball. But the only time, and that is the champion, the character of a champion. Because if Sligo Rovers didn't know that they have it, that's how champion behave. So for them to be in that position, for me, it's not about what they're going to achieve this year. For me, is they have to learn what they didn't achieve this year. That's very important. They have to learn why they didn't win the league this year. And then they're going to see the first half of the season, and then they're going to see the last 10 games of the season. And I think that is where they have to think, we're going to take the last 10 games of the season. That's how we're going to behave next year. And for Longford, it was painful. I, as much I was happy for Sligo Rovers, but my heart was really, it was painful. Because I think those guys played, again, one of the best football I saw in the showground. It was fantastic. I discovered again Devon. Oh, what a player. Oh, Lord.
He listens to this, so he'd be very happy.
Oh, Devon. Oh, Lord. What a player. What a player. Serious.
You'd like to see him at Sligo?
Oh, I want to see him believe on what he's doing. Because, listen, is Sligo is the best thing for him? I don't know. First, I don't work for Sligo to give them players. If someone asks me what player we need, remember what I say. If they don't ask you anything, keep quiet. There is no point to spend your energy to tell, hey, because it happened to me that, listen, I went to the club and say, hey, sign this guy. And the club didn't sign him. And the next thing, every time the player play against them, it was a problem. So I've learned my lesson. That's why I say, hey, if they don't ask me. But I do think that Longford had two of the best players I saw in the league, Paddy Kirk and Devon. Devon is fantastic. Fantastic. And I remember he tried the 50-yard shot in first half. And Kadal, who were with me in the commentary, he said, oh, that's a little bit too much. But in second half, he tried the same and he was nearly to score a goal. I think his vision, his football intelligence. And both halves were completely different the way he plays. The first half, he was working so hard, closing down everywhere. He was everywhere the first half. The second half, it was just like it's working, but he was always at the right spot. He just is a fabulous player. If he didn't know that, I have to tell him, Devon, you are a fabulous player. You're going to go far. You can be one of the best this country ever see, but you have to believe. Because I saw you play with your heart, you play with passion, you show every skill you have. You can be one moment, you can be so aggressive, and the next moment, you just pull a skill that say, oh, he has everything. Now he has to believe. And that's what I was saying. The only problem Longford had is that they didn't believe they can. Because if they had the same attitude they had when they were in first division. Because when they were in first division, they say we have to go up. So everyone raised his game to be there. What was the result? They come up in the Premier League, in the Premier Division. So I think that's when they came in Premier Division, they say, okay, you know what? Because that's the thing. We don't have the same squad as this. So we're going to try to do everything to stay up next year. And then maybe we're going to build going forward. And I think that was the wrong strategy. They should go with the same mindset to say, we're going to try to go to win this league because we are good enough. You have nothing to lose. No one expects you to do something. No one. In fact, everyone is against you. So now they are bottom of the table. Do you hear someone say, oh, we are surprised they are there? No, because that's where they saw them before the season even starts. So why are you letting people dictate your fate? And that's the thing. For me, that's what is sad with Longford. Because for me, it's one of the best football team I saw playing. Sligo always struggle against Longford. For some reason, they always struggle. And that's so Paddy Kirk. What can I say? Paddy Kirk is one of the best left back I saw in my time in Ireland. That young man has everything. Everything a top fullback has. He can be a playmaker. His range of pass, short, long, amazing. So when you have those kind of talent, you have Dylan Grimes. I think they're gonna have some regrets in years to come. Because when they're gonna see that team, they're gonna ask themselves how we didn't win anything. When they're gonna look back, they're gonna say how we didn't win anything. And if they are honest, the answer is gonna be we didn't believe. Because when you put that team on paper, the technicality of those players, they shouldn't be on that position.
So finally, Joey, look, you've been absolutely fantastic. You're a very positive guy, as you're saying. They're all about mindset, all about positivity. So is that, even aside from football, is that very important in life to you? Everything you should do should be with positive and believe in yourself.
First, I think it's not too much about being positive. It's about enjoy what you have, you know, because sometimes we think that we have to enjoy when things goes on our way. But we cannot become the better version of ourselves if we don't have challenges. That's not possible. I always say the best time of my career is when I was injured. Because then I have to respect the other players. I have to understand that I'm not indestructible. It gives me more respect on my career to say, hey, you know what? Things can go, so you have to enjoy every day. And I think sometimes when struggle comes, when there is challenges, we are so afraid. Because we felt that, oh no, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And then we want to give that to somebody else. And I always think that, listen, if you have to give your struggle to somebody else, when the glory will come, are you going to give that to somebody else? Because there is no glory without struggle. There is not a resurrection without crucifixion. No chance. So you have to go through that. And in football, it's the same. That's what I'm saying. Sligo struggled. Like, they were saying that, how are we going to do these things? But to score that goal at the last minute, you can see their joy. If they scored at the first minute, do you think they're going to celebrate the same way? No. It's that celebration. And for me, life is the same. Is that it doesn't matter the situation. There is always a positive side. A positive side on the situation. And the same with critics. There's always a funny side of the critics. When they criticize you, there's always a funny side. Always. I'm going to tell you a story. We play against, the Sligo of us play against Sampat in Richmond Park. And two stories. The one in Sampat, every time they were this guy who, every time we play against Sampat, he was coming earlier. He just sat down there and start abusing me, like insulting me with all kind of name and things, you know? And I never really answer him. But then, I think it was 2013, I knew that he always find a spot where, near where we're going to warm up, and he start again insulting me, abusing me, everything, like, the guy have the whole dictionary. Like I have to agree, he's an expert. Expert. So, but that day, I think he came with his son that day. And I can see his son, the way his son was looking at me. You can see his son came to watch me. You can see that. So, we were stretching. I left, I went to him. When I start walking towards him, I can see his face that the guy is ready. He said, oh, finally, he noticed me. Let's go. I'm going to tell you everything I want. Okay. So I asked him, listen, why every time you come here and you start to insult him, he's like, I just put the petrol on fire. He start talking. I say, okay, you know what? Because you bought your ticket to watch me. So today I'm going to play just for you. He said, what do you mean? I said, no, wait. So that night, everything I was doing, every skill I was doing, I would just look at him. And I remember they give me a ball at the line near the corner flag. And two players were coming. So I lift the ball over the head of the two players. And then the third one kicked the ball out. So we had the corner. And the ball just land in front of his seat. So I took the ball and I look at him and say, are you satisfied now? He never speak again. He never, because he knew that, oh, I'm better not piss that guy off. But I have to do it. Why? Because he came with his son. I felt that the kid shouldn't see those kind of things. I know that his dad was passionate, but I also have to respect the man because he was with his son. I couldn't start insulting him and tell him things, but I have to tell him, listen, you make an effort to come watch me play. I'm going to play for you. And the second one is, another one was abusing me as usual. Like, that's why I say a lot of people get really mad when I stop playing, because they have nobody else to abuse. At least when they knew that, oh, Sligo over is going to be in town. Oh, I can't wait. Finally. My abuse dose for the weekend. So start abuse. I don't listen. I don't say anything because I never say. But I can see the players, some past players were. Because for what they were saying. So I don't say anything. And the guy start to get pissed off that I don't even look at him. And I think the ball went to his side. And he leaned back and he start same, abusing. And I got the ball like no one was there. So I give the ball to my teammate. I say, hey, listen, move there. And the guy look at me. You cannot even speak English. Oh, I just burst of laugh. Like it was just. And I told him, that's not fair. Come on. Can you speak French? That's why I say there is always a funny side, even when someone, because I know they love me. I know that they were very hurt when I left Sampat. And I have to understand, I know why I make a decision. I didn't make a decision because of the fan. I make a decision based on what was going on in the club. And I cannot start talking of those things that this thing happened in the club because I felt that that's just for my ego to look well, to say, oh, that wasn't my fault. But I have to understand the pain that a fan feel to see, I would say, his favorite player leaving. So, but if you don't see that, if you don't take that funny side, you're going to start hating people for no reason. And I think the world doesn't need you to add the hate because, listen, the hate has become the new love. that's the world we are living now. So if you can just reduce certain things, because also the last thing I will say that the way I see that my brain has only 2 gigabytes. 1 gigabyte is for love. The other gigabyte is for forgiveness. Anything I can trouble start when I try to add something else.
Well, Joey, all I can say is, look, not only thank you for tonight, but thank you for your time as a footballer in the League of Ireland. You brought great joy and put a smile on so many people's faces, particularly in Sligo. But I have to say, I've really enjoyed this tonight. You could say it's been podcast heaven.
Wow.
Welcome to heaven.
I didn't see that one coming. Wow. Podcast heaven. Wow. Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Wow. Yeah. Wow. No. I have to give you that one. That I never heard that one. Wow. Podcast heaven. Wow. Wow. That's good. Listen, it was a pleasure and thank you to inviting me.
Joey, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. The man himself, Joey Indo. I hope you have enjoyed this week's very special edition of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Obviously, there has been some big events in the league over the last couple of days, but we just haven't got the time to squeeze 2 podcasts in this week. So we will return next week with our usual show. And of course, we will cover the big news that has broke from Longford Town last night. That is the departure of manager Dara Doyle. The playoff games tonight as well. UCD have thumped Treaty by 3-0 down in the Market Field. So they're in pole position to reach the first division playoff final. While it's still all to play for between Bray and Galway, they drew 0-0 tonight, so you'd have to say probably advantage Galway. They have home advantage now in the second leg, so we'll discuss the playoffs and everything else going on within the league. But obviously that news about Dara Doyle will be big on next week's show, so we will react to that, myself, John and Gary. But I really hope you've enjoyed the Joey Indo special here on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. If you've enjoyed it, make sure you follow us on social media, leave us a tweet, let us know you were listening. And as ever, you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. Our website is betweenthestripes.net, and you can donate to the podcast via buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI, or you can donate through our website. Once again, thanks for listening. A huge thanks to Joey Indo, and we'll speak to you again next week. What a man. Welcome to heaven.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.